Blog Talk Radio.
Very, very interesting so far. We've had people from different walks of life, different trades, but people who have a story and who have a great product or service to sell as well. This is actually a red letter date in Blog Talk history for me, because for the first time in our series and probably in my Blog Talk career, my guest is live. No phone in, live, personal, and I'm very glad to have her. She's a fellow resident of White Plains. She has started her own company, Alistair Home Care, which she runs here from White Plains. She formerly was in the corporate world, and for reasons that we will find out why, she moved on to do something to serve the elderly, perform a service that she believes that she can compete with others in the same field. And I will, with no further ado, introduce my guest, Kathy Guglielmo. Kathy, welcome to the Blog Talk studio. Glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I'm so happy to be here. This is so exciting.
Yes, it is for me, too. Not just that you're my first live guest and fellow resident, but you're doing something that's close to my heart. I'll bet it's close to the hearts of many people who are listening in the audience tonight, because, you know, we all at some point in our lives, whether it's a parent, whether it's a relative close to us, we're going to be faced with that decision, that point at which they either can't take care of themselves or they just need a boost. And in some cases, people don't know where to turn, don't know if they can do it themselves, and don't know the choices they have. But you have done something now. You started your company basically. Well, let's hear your history beforehand. Now, you started out basically in the corporate world first, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, what was that? What did you do exactly before you got into Alistair?
Well, for almost 27 years, I was an event planner for a large financial services company.
Okay.
And, you know, it was something really exciting, and I enjoyed it a lot. But then, you know, eventually, as everything happens in your career, you have these turning points and epiphanies. And, you know, what really happened was I was taking care of my grandmother before, you know, towards the end of her life.
Right.
And, you know, we were shopping and running errands, going to the doctors. We'd just go for trips, or I'd go over to her apartment and I'd fix things. And what was interesting is that I started to see all these other people that didn't have help.
Right.
And, you know, it really started me thinking about, wow, look at all these people that could really use some help. You know, our families are different now. We don't have everyone close by that's living in the neighborhood.
Correct.
So I started thinking, wow, this might be a great business for me to get into. And, you know, I put it on the back burner. It was something I was thinking about. And a couple of years later, I ended up starting Alistair Home Care.
Now, at first, I'll bet there was a little bit of resistance. Now, you were kind of in that shield of the company that sort of protected you. Now you're out on your own. Did you kind of talk to anyone at first to say, you know, what am I getting into here? Is this going to be easy, or what should I know ahead of time? Did you sort of have a mentor?
Yes. Well, you know, I did talk to a lot of people through working with people. My grandmother, I did know some people, and it's interesting because some people that I thought would be really supportive thought I was crazy. And, you know, someone said, you know what, I'm really afraid you're going to be eaten alive out there, or, you know, people aren't going to pay for the services that you're offering. and it was really discouraging.
Yeah.
But then I did some research and ended up joining this network called the Seniors Choice.
Okay.
They're the largest network of independently owned home care agencies. And with a lot of support through them, I was able to really learn the whole business. And what's been really helpful is there are about 185 companies, and we have an email distribution list. And, you know, if you have a problem or questions, you throw it out on the board, and everyone's very supportive, and they'll come back and help you.
That's excellent. That's remarkable, because people don't realize, like, even if you're starting a company, you know, instead of throwing yourself to the wolves, so to speak, you have these resources you can go to. That
Absolutely.
Makes it a little bit easier. Now, you're figuring at this point, okay, you're the CEO now you got to kind of fill the roster here with the people that are going to basically, is that how it works, first of all? Basically, you have a group of people who serve as home care agents, and you coordinate them? Is that how it's structured?
Yes. Well, what we have are home health aides. And all of the aides that we have are certified by the Department of Health in New York.
Okay.
And there are different levels of care. But what I like are people that have the certification as a home health aide, as a personal care aide, or a certified nurse's assistant.
Right.
So they're all trained to know what to do in all different levels of care.
And that's like a state certification, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes,
okay, so basically you have the freedom if you want to reach out beyond Westchester if you needed to, or is there kind of some constriction?
No, technically not. There, you know, I am also serving Fairfield County in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm licensed there as well. So there are a whole different set of rules, but as far as we're eligible to work in all of New York State, and because I'm not a franchise,
right.
I'm not limited in where I can go.
Ah, okay. I understand now. That's sort of one of the interesting little quirks of being in the tri-state area. Yeah, you sometimes, to reach out to the state next to you, you know, Connecticut and New Jersey are so close by. But that means oftentimes like three sets of certifications and licensing.
That's right, different
yeah.
rules.
And that goes for engineering as well. I know that for a fact. So so the people you deal with now, how many people do you have working under you now?
You know, it varies, to be honest with you, between the cases. So anywhere, you know, we're small and we're growing, but I have approximately on any given day, 6 to 12 caregivers out there in the field.
Okay. You basically, you're dealing for the most part with, as was the case with me too, with the relatives, often the children of the people who are going to be your clients. How do they often find you? How do they end up locating you? Word of mouth, or have you reached out through advertising?
It's been a mix as far as getting to the different people. A lot of the people right now are reaching out to me. They're friends of friends or, you know, business associates. And so it's been a lot of word of mouth referrals.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been networking through all of the different facilities that we have here in Westchester.
Right.
You know, there are so many local hospitals, rehab facilities, assisted living
right.
facilities, and everyone needs different levels of care when they're in these facilities and communities.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier about, and this is something that I think I found on your site, and I didn't know this. I knew the number was high, but 90%, I guess, of able-bodied elderly people would prefer to remain in their home as opposed to going into assisted living or other facilities. And that's where the importance of a company like yours comes in. Basically, I guess the children are the ones who kind of have to then concur with that decision. You find yourself sometimes butting heads with them, like, nah, my mom needs more care. I think she's got to go into assisted living. Or is that decision maybe made at a higher level?
You know, it's really, it's a mix.
Okay.
I think, you know, like you said, most people do want to stay in their homes, and there's a new thing as far as aging in place,
right.
and the communities are really helping with the seniors to be able to do that. Here in White Plains, we have an aging in place group, which is filled with volunteers, Scarsdale, Eastchester, a lot of the communities, and they're helping do the day-to-day things.
Right.
But as far as going into the communities, there are a lot of factors that go into place. What's the level of care that they need? You know, do people want to stay in their homes because they have friends? And cost is a huge factor.
Right.
You know, most of the assisted living facilities around here start at about $5,000 and are going all the way up to $12,000 a month.
Right.
And Medicare doesn't cover this.
Right.
So being able to stay at home sometimes is the only choice that people have besides living with their children, and that may not be an option.
Yeah, that is true, and I think that's the conflict that all of us at some point end up facing. Like, you don't – I think there's a stigma attached still to this day, back in the day, or we used to call it putting our mother in a home, or, you know, we don't want to put them in the home, you know, the home as
right.
opposed to their home. And I think a lot of people also have that resistance to letting the outsider into their home. Now, is there something at the beginning, do you sort of like orient them to this theme that there's going to be a new visitor in your house every day and you don't know them, but is there anything you sort of sit with the client, let's say, and say, this is what it's going to be like, you know, there's an adjustment period?
Yes, and what we do really is starting out by talking with the families. The people that call initially, usually the daughters or the sons, you know, we have a discussion and they say, well, my parent doesn't want anyone in the house. And, you know, we talk about what are the needs that they have. And a lot of times it comes down to it's a safety issue for them.
Right.
And, you know, when you start having the conversation with the senior and say, you know, we're not taking away your independence and you're not going to be told what to do, but you're going to have someone in the house who's going to help you and they're going to make all the day-to-day activities that you're starting to find so difficult or are getting neglected.
Right.
They're going to be there to help you. And honestly, it's the companionship piece that a lot of people don't put a lot of weight to, which is very, very meaningful.
Yeah, I think actually that's the most important thing. I mean, a lot of people years later, you know, not the actual person who was being caretaken, but I hear my cousins and other people saying, yeah, I remember when, you know, my dad's nurse, Margie, yeah, she was really great. You kind of, you're making them a part of your family in a way. So it's a very careful, sensitive thing that you have to do, and I guess you're doing it very well so far.
Yes, and you know, one of the things that we always want to make sure of is that the people are treated with dignity and respect.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be treated like a child. They've lived a lifetime, and we're just there to help them and support them.
Exactly. Now, before we go any further, I made my promise. We have to keep giving your website, but it's very important. But Kathy Guglielmo is here. She is our guest. And Alistair. I keep saying Alistair. It's Alistair. It is Alistair.
It is Alistair.
Okay. Alistair Home Care. And quite simply, the website is www.alastarhomecare.com. And it's on the Facebook site. It's on my Blog Talk site as well. And I learned a few things from it as well, certainly about the aging in place concept. I didn't know it was a term, much less it's an actual group here in Westchester, which is a good thing. Let's see. Now, okay, so you got the company going. You have your home care agents in the field. Do you think at any point, do you see yourself, let's say, expanding a little further? You've got a good group now, I would say. You've certainly got the advertising out there. You get some word of mouth. What do you think is like the next step for you with Alistair?
Well, the next step really is I've applied for my license to become a personal care home agency.
Okay.
You know, the healthcare industry overall is very regulated here in New York.
Right.
And so there are certain designations as far as what you can do with home care.
Right.
And right now we're currently at the companion homemaker level.
Okay.
Which essentially means that we can provide services but can't actually physically touch the client and do any services. You know, we're strictly non-medical.
Okay, that's interesting.
But the differentiation is that when we get our personal care license, right now we can assist someone going to take a bath and we can help them get into the shower, but we can't physically bathe them.
I see.
So once we receive our license for the next level of care, we'll be able to help with bathing and grooming and anything else that requires touching.
That's interesting. I never really made that distinction that there were gradations of home care, you know, what they were allowed to do.
Yes. And there's, you know, further levels up is, you know, because it's called a LICSA license. That's the acronym that's used. And then the next level up is a CHA.
Okay.
And then, you know, then you start getting into the skilled nursing services.
Right, right. Okay. How often do you find, I guess, is the majority of what your people do in the individual homes? Are you also in the facilities very often, the assisted living facilities at all, like to provide companionship there?
Yes, we are. Because, you know, although they have caregivers there, they don't have one-on-one caregivers within the facilities and the communities. So we can go in and support someone. You know, if they're coming home from the hospital,
right,
you know, they might need a few hours of just a little bit of help. Maybe they're staying in their room while they recover a little bit further. So we're helping with meals,
yeah,
and getting them out and about just for little walks.
Yeah.
So we cover all levels of care within facilities and in the homes.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I've noticed, I guess, you know, personally, I've had the opportunity to review a few. My aunt is sort of in the assisted living system now, and I've noticed even there that they, after a while anyway, they try to give the person like a dedicated companion. And I think it's very helpful. I mean, the staff at her place is nice. I'm sure the staff at other locations are nice as well, but just having that one go-to person is very helpful. And I notice also they're starting to provide like these personal chaplains as well now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, my aunt is in New Jersey, and there's a chaplain, then she's got a home care person for a couple of hours a day. My father had a very good experience as well, you know, in the Bronx. I guess we sort of went... Well, no, I stand corrected. She was licensed, but we sort of went out of network. She was kind of an independent person, a very nice lady, and she helped my dad out for a while. And even when my dad went into assisted living, I would still, pardon me, nursing care, full-fledged nursing care, she would still visit him regularly there. And it was nice. You really do build that relationship.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm still in touch with the aide that would help my grandmother.
Yeah.
And, you know, she passed away a couple of years ago now. And so you do. They become part of the family.
Yeah, yeah. I was just down in the Tampa area, actually, visiting other family. And I've noticed that this particular industry is starting to boom down there because, A, it is Florida, and, B, a lot of elderly people are going to Florida. So I guess if you're any speculators out there, New York is nice, but Florida might be the future location for starting to do a home care business. It's incredible. I mean, not that there's a lot of disabled people, but it's the population is aging. I mean, at some point, this is going to become really important.
Yes, it is. You know, with the baby boomers turning 65,
yeah,
we've now gotten to the point that every single day, 10,000 people a day turn 65.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, by the year 2050, 20% of the population, and that's 88 million people, along with me and you,
right,
are going to be 65 or older. And, you know, and so the care is going to be needed. It's needed now.
Yeah, yeah. For the most part, I've heard good experiences down there and up here. I think people still, there's still a mentality among many out there who think they could do it themselves. It's almost dangerous. I kind of accepted when the time came for my dad. I said, look, I have to get someone. You know, can't be afraid of having someone in the house. You know, I don't want my loved one tripping and breaking their neck or anything like that, and I have to go to work at some point. And I saw other people just not doing that, and really it was scary because, you know, these are these people that thought they could do everything, that they're Superman. None of us are. And in one or two cases, I saw a few bad things happen, a parent falling, parents forgetting to take their medication, and, you know, parents just sick and tired of seeing the same four walls, and you can only do so much when you're working and then caretaking. Do you find a lot of the time you got to kind of sort of give some people that extra push to say, look, this is really something that's going to benefit you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people, you know, it's their parents, their grandparents, they love them and they want to take care of them. But, you know, with the way we are today, you know, there's a term that's been coined. It's called the sandwich generation. And so many people are taking care of their elderly parents along with their children. And they're stuck in the middle. And it really takes a toll on them. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're trying to do is ease that burden for you because you're torn. And, you know, we recently started with a family. The family's fabulous. The daughter's fabulous. They live around the corner. But she, you know, is the classic sandwich generation, plus she works full-time. And, you know, unfortunately, her mother's fallen a few times. And it's heartbreaking when you see, you know, this woman in her mid-80s and she's got terrible black eyes and, you know, the guilt that's associated with it. And, it you know, it just doesn't have to be that way.
And yeah, that's a good point, actually, the guilt factor.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like, especially when we're from Italian families, it's kind of like we're thinking, you know, they took care of me all those years. I can't just pawn this off on somebody else. You know, I got to do this, you know. But I think a lot of people don't realize that you're not really doing them a favor if you can't be an adequate caregiver, if you're not living your life, you know, you're not really doing them any favors.
Yeah. You know, and there also, if you can't be there 24 hours a day, there's the safety factor.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I was telling someone recently. You know, if your mother falls and breaks her hip, there is a very good chance that they are going to not recover fully. You know, you're three times more likely to die within a year from a broken hip. And it's not the broken hip
right.
that makes you pass away. It's all the other ailments that you have that become exasperated.
Exactly, exactly. And what I feared also was, and I'm sure we've read the horror stories, you don't want to be personally responsible, perhaps liable for something like that happening, heaven forbid, to your own parent. You know, neglect, let's just call it what it is. You don't want to be a party to that, so that's why it's all the more important for anyone out there who's in this position or who anticipates that they might be in this position in a few years to really look at all the options. So, and certainly, Alistair Home Care, www.alistairhomecare.com is one of your options here in Westchester. So this is what we're going to do. This is Kathy's first radio show, so we're going to give her a little break. And I am very fortunate to have some wonderful music available to you listeners here. And this is actually called Pacific Theme by Broken Social Scene. We'll do a few minutes of this so we can relax, and we will be back with you momentarily. We're back. And that's Pacific Theme by Broken Social Scene. In case you don't know who they are, it's like a sort of a rock, experimental rock band that has like, I think there's like 30 members in it. It's weird. It's only five of them are prominent, but there's like 25 other contributing members. So, and they do instrumentals and regular music and weird music. But we are back with Kathy Guglielmo, Alistar. Speaking of Alistar, how did you arrive at the name Alistar?
Well, yep. I had actually wanted to call the company, you know, something like Guardian Home Care, you know.
Okay.
And luckily I spoke with a lawyer and they told me that it was a trademarked name.
Oh.
So I put into Google Guardian, so I, you know, because I didn't have anything else that I wanted. Anything with Westchester had already been taken.
Right.
And this word Alistar kept coming up when I put in Google, and you know, it just resonated with me. It's an Irish name, and it means Alexander, which is Alexander the Great.
Interesting.
Defender of mankind.
Oh, I like that.
Protector of people. And I said, yeah, you know, that's great. And, you know, I'm half Irish, so I just liked it, and I said, I'm going with it.
Well, it's good to see some creativity in naming, because everything around here is always like you said, the name of the county or your city or somebody's initials. But that's nice just to take a sort of a symbolic thing. And it's one letter away from All-Star.
Yes. So
maybe next time we go for All-Star Home Care. Still a little about how, you know, obviously, like you said earlier, regulation in New York is not the great. It's tough to deal with. What kind day to day and, you know, month to month, what kinds of sort of regulations do you have to comply with? What kind of fees do you have to pay to sort of just at its base keep Alistar going?
Well, you know, a lot of the things that we have to do are things that people don't even think about when you're opening up your own business.
Right.
You know, I needed to get insurance.
Right.
And not only for myself, but, you know, workman's compensation and unemployment compensation and disability insurance. And then all the business insurance, you know, all of our caregivers have to be insured and bonded.
Right.
You know, we have to make sure we cover all the liabilities.
Exactly. And who, anyone in particular shepherd you through that, or you kind of sought that out on your own?
Well, this membership network, the Seniors Choice,
okay,
gave me guidance,
right,
on, you know, an outline of what I should be looking for in,
right,
the coverage. You know, because one of the things that we do too, you know, when the caregivers drive, you know, and this comes up because not every agency will cover,
mm-hmm,
the, if a caregiver uses their own car, it's at their own risk. But with us, we pick up that insurance.
Oh,
so, you know, that they could do that.
Well, that's very good. That's very good. Yeah, I mean, here in New York especially, it's a little tough to navigate, we understand. But you go to other states, I suppose it might be a bit easier, but there's always going to be a degree of planning, and it seems like yours was no exception. How often would you say you kind of, you know, assess where you're at, let's say, you know, to kind of look at everything and say, you know, here's what I could do better? Do you sort of have, like, not necessarily with the people that work for you, but maybe with yourself and those close to you, say, all right, here's what we're doing now. Here's something we could come up with, you know, just sort of the roundtable discussion to sort of bring things to the next level.
You know, I do it all the time.
Ah.
Officially, you know, once a month we have a staff meeting and kind of go over things,
okay,
and look at what we can do. But part of my background as an event planner, we always did a critique after each event,
right,
and so that's part of my training.
Right.
You know, what worked, what didn't work, and, you know, a lot of the care is constantly changing, you know, with the needs. So,
right,
we're always looking at what we can do, whether it's for the people or the systems that we have in place.
Right, right. Now, in terms of payment, for the most part, I guess a service like yours would be a private pay service.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, as opposed to Medicaid, Medicare. Those are more for, well, Medicare certainly is more for illnesses and things like that, whereas Medicaid is more for people who have had their resources depleted. Is that often a barrier sometimes to people signing up or has?
It is actually, and I think a lot of people are surprised that Medicare doesn't care, cover home care services.
That's interesting, yes.
You know, it really the only way it's covered is when it's ordered by a doctor,
right.
And it's only for a limited amount of time that they'll get coverage for the various services.
Exactly. I've run into that debacle myself, and notwithstanding that, what is there any way people can insure themselves if something like this were to happen? They require long-term care or have to go into assisted living. Is there something like a younger person could do now that would perhaps mitigate that from becoming a problem?
Yes, there is. You know, a lot of people are now, especially the companies, are offering long-term care insurance.
Okay.
And, you know, it's something I highly recommend. I have it myself. And, you know, it really, really is going to help us in the long run. You know, it's one of the things that has to be addressed in our whole country is the cost of care.
Right.
And you don't want to leave yourself short.
Exactly. I know it's come into discussion about, you know, funding that through Medicare. That's popped up a few times, and obviously it would be a great expense. And that's why you, as a citizen, as a potential user of such services in the future, have to plan ahead. I did myself. It's not cheap, even if you get long-term care insurance in your 30s and 40s. It could be as much as several thousand dollars, but it certainly is a great asset protector because God forbid something does happen to you and you're not prepared. It's just that it could be devastating. You could lose everything over time. I'm not talking about through home care. I'm talking about through illness and chronic care and, you know, hospitalization. So that is definitely something to keep in mind for everyone out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I learned recently that there's a way, and I don't know the specifics and have to call your insurance company about mm-hmm. this, but you can actually convert your life insurance policies to long-term care.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, it's something for people to look at.
Okay.
I think that the threshold is about $50,000 and above, the value had to be.
Okay.
But, you know, certainly an option.
Right. I mean, there are sort of coverage limits to that. I mean, some policies are like $250,000 per year. Others are a little bit higher and deductibles matched accordingly. But, yeah, I didn't know that was transferable. Well, a lot of life insurance policies now are they have to be sort of, what's the word, when they're made into a financial instrument?
Like an annuity or something?
Yeah, they have to be annuitized or something. Basically, you have to treat it sort of as an investment. So I guess it's not surprising that you could sort of go between those two, like long-term policy, life insurance policy. I'm sure somebody will come out with a hybrid very soon. But for a lot of people, I mean, particularly in facilities, I was just telling Kathy at the break, my aunt actually is in a facility that fortunately is Medicaid approved. Not all such facilities are. I think the same might go, well, Kathy will probably find out as her business progresses into other things that maybe there's degrees of coverage even for home care. Where you might be able to be, I guess, Medicaid approved. If you start getting into nursing care, things like that, I guess there's gradations to that as well, like you could be Medicaid approved.
Right. Yeah. And again, that all goes to what the level of care is. And, you know, it happens above and beyond.
Right.
But that would be something as a long-term project, certainly not an easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah. I asked other. I had the ladies from the GNN project. They actually do something basically very charitable. They go to like battered women's shelters in the Bronx, and they sort of help out. They try to mentor some of the women. And I asked them, does it kind of get after a while, despite the good that you're doing, does it kind of get psychologically draining for you personally? You know, because no matter how good your life might be, when you're kind of seeing all this around you, this bad situation or this tough to deal with situation, it kind of drains you. Do you ever feel that way personally? I mean, even if you're in a good position yourself, you're dealing with a lot of people who have illnesses who need help. you know, does it kind of at some point drain you in some way or become tough?
No, not really. Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, it just makes me feel good that you're helping someone.
Okay.
You know, there are tough situations, and, you know, you get a call that someone fell and now they've gone into the hospital and, you know, or they pass. But at the end of the day, you help them. And so that does really make me feel good. You know, that's what I've always wanted to do, is just help people.
Well, that's true. I shouldn't take the negativist approach to it.
Yeah, you know, I also volunteer for Meals on Wheels here in White Plains. And, you know, you do the same thing I once a week, and it's the same route. But it's so nice to see the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's that little thing that you can do to make someone's day.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's what I kind of carry over into this as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I try to donate to Meals on Wheels. I give them periodically when I can. I've never done it myself, but I'll bet you it's kind of fun after a while.
It is.
I saw there was a commercial. Remember a while back there was a commercial. It was kind of a portly Italianish fellow. It was a Meals on Wheels commercial, and he would show up at the lady's house, and he started singing like some opera to her, and he's serving the meal to her, and she's like thrilled and happy. And I guess that is the bottom line. I mean, in the face of potential, let's not say depression, but in the face of potential hardship, you kind of try to find the good things, you know, to put a smile on people's face.
You have to. Really do. Because there are some terrible situations. You know, people have Alzheimer's and dementia, and, you know, you have the concerns of the family that are going on. So it's not that it's all peaches and cream.
Right.
But, you know, you're helping someone, whether it's the senior or the family members, and that's what you really have to always keep in perspective.
Right, and I think that's probably a lesson for everyone out there. You're, God willing, you're working at a profession that at some level sort of helps someone, and we kind of get lost in the details and the technicalities and regulations, but you kind of hope at the end of the day, even if it's just one person at a time, that you're just doing the right thing and maybe setting an example for other people, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so we are at about 7:40. Here's what we shall do. We will take our second musical break to give Kathy another breather, and then we will go into our final segment with Kathy Guglielmo of Alistar Home Care, which means Alexander, protector of
mankind.
Protector of mankind, not just one man, mankind. That is a good thing. So it appears the only other appropriate music we have for break time is actually, this is an artist that I really, really like. This is a blues man that my wonderful cousin got me into, and his name is Eric Bibb, and this is called Going Down That Road, and we will be right back.
Down that road feeling bad, going down that road feeling bad. Well, I'm going down that road feeling bad, honey, babe, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. What I got gon' show bring you back, what I got gon' show bring you back. But I got gon' show bring you back, honey, babe, and I ain't gon' be treated this way. Feed me on corn, bread, and peas. Feed me on comfort and peace, honey bees, and I ain't gonna be treated this way. When I'm down in this valley on my knees, down in this valley on my knees, well, I'm down in this valley on my knees, honey bees, and I ain't gonna be treated this way.
Okay, gang, that was Eric Bibb and Going Down That Road. So once in a while, you got to hear nice little blues tunes like that to just brighten up your day. So it's like a happy blues song. That's like a contradiction in terms, but sometimes they exist. So, yeah, we're going to finish up here with Kathy, but I think this was very interesting. We learned a lot today about just the nature of the home care business, I guess, about the nature of us and diving into that sort of thing with our loved ones and you know, translating your care for a person into farming it out. Not a good term, but delegating that care to someone you can trust. And I can assure you, Kathy is someone you can trust.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad that this venture is going well for you, and I hope you can really step it up over the next few years as you wish.
Thank you. I hope so, too. I feel really good about it, and
yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunities. So we're just going to keep plowing along.
Excellent, excellent. Any interesting, before we finish, any interesting, funny stories or things that you can relegate from your career doing this? Maybe interesting clients you might have had? Or
without really giving any details, you know, it's there have been some interesting people that we've met, and I'll tell you, some people I just admire. You know, I have this one client, and she's 98 years old, sharp as a whip, and boy, I'll tell you, I just love being around her. She is really inspirational, a lot of fun, and you know, she's really made it a fun thing to do and be around, and I think most of the people are, but you know, nothing really out of the ordinary, to be honest with you.
Maybe that's a good thing, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, you probably prefer in your business not to hear any crazy stories.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe one day you'll get a celebrity client though, and you can tell us all about it.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That'll be good, and there's no shortage of that here in Westchester. So then I could say I knew Kathy right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, this has been very good. I'm very honored to have had you as my first in-studio guest. And for those of you out there who would like to be on the Ventman AV's Entrepreneur Series, you can come here, too. The couch is always open to you. You can do it on the phone as well. But this was the fourth in our installment, and I think this was very nice. And I hope that you will find out more about Kathy. She has an informative website, too. Again, alistarhomecare.com. You can find out all about your home care choices, what Kathy can do for you, what you can do for your loved ones, more importantly, instead of trying to do it all yourself. So with that, I will say thank you to my guest, Kathy Guglielmo, and sure I'll be seeing more of you. I mean, you're practically my neighbor, but I wish you continued success in your ventures.
Thank you, Anthony, so much. It's been such a privilege being here today, and I really enjoyed this. And, you know, anytime I can help anyone, please feel free to reach out to me.
Okay, and I hope they will. I certainly hope they will. You know, actually, it's funny. We've had four of these entrepreneur series, all women so far. So I cannot be accused of stacking a deck, but I'm sure at some point we'll have a man on here. But you're all very talented. So we will, in the near future, be putting both Kathy's show. We have our first two shows already on YouTube. We'll be putting this show with Kathy onto YouTube format very soon, as well as our previous show with Lisa Cordasco of New Crystal Restoration. And thus we'll be up to snuff with all our YouTube. And we will conclude with a classic Beatles song here. It kind of fits the occasion, actually, being as we have to be careful with copyrighted stuff. This is actually technically a cover version. This is When I'm 64 by the Beatles, as performed by Andrew Lubman. And, folks, we will see you on our next installment of the Entrepreneur Series on Blog Talk Radio.
Not too dear.